Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
On the Toyota of Hollywood hotline is Josh Appel from Sports USA, who was on the call nationally for the Green Bay game. He was in frozen Lambeau Field on Sunday. What was that like? We saw a viral video, you know, of them opening a bottle of water and the water just froze instantly. Is that the coldest game you've ever called?
The coldest game I've ever called, yes. But I mean, I had 7 layers on, walked the field for like 15 minutes before the game with James White, who I was calling it with. And honestly, tolerable. If you dress right, it's tolerable.
Interesting. Didn't affect you.
7 layers while you play, Josh.
I mean, listen, I do what I can. Sorry that you didn't have that ability. Now,
you know, today, by the way, Josh, is National Bobblehead Day.
Mm.
And you famously bring free bobbleheads to Crowder's Toy Drive.
We have some of the bobbleheads in our other room. Should I go grab one really quick?
No, it's fine.
We're good.
Mention
anybody take the one this year, by the way?
What's Crowder? That?
Did anybody take the Jake Berger, or was it Sandy Alcantara or Dontrell Willis? Who did I bring this year?
You had the Dontrell Willis one this year.
Did anyone take it?
It might be in my office. I love Dontrell.
Appel loved the kids. So yesterday, Appel, I was on an island on this show, on the text machine, on Twitter. I was on an island, but I am a supporter of retaining Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel and Tua. I called them the big three. Crowder and Solana poked holes in that. But I do think starting the next season, and I don't mean big three like they're dominant like a big three, but those are the three key cogs of this Dolphins team, in my opinion. I don't think they're near a point where they need to blow it up. And I don't think they're near a point where they start to, you know, really reconfigure what this team is, because I think they're a lot closer than Crowder and Solana think. So I was happy that Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel and obviously Tua will be back. Where do you stand on that?
So I'm not like super passionate about being upset or happy that they ended up retaining Chris Greer. I can see the arguments that people would have for not retaining him. I mean, just on the front end, what GM survives 6 seasons without a single playoff win? I don't think you're going to find very many. But also, I don't think, like, a lot of the things that happened to them this season were out of their control, right? Like, I guess you should be able to plan for your quarterback missing 6.5 games. Obviously, that was like the major difference. But at the same time, we saw them at full strength, and they weren't necessarily, the way they were currently constructed, a contender, right? Like, maybe they could win a playoff game if they got one at home, maybe two. But as far as being one of the top 2, 3, 4 teams in the entire league, which is what you need to be to win a Super Bowl, like, they're obviously not there yet. But I still think there are plenty of savvy moves that he's made that should earn him the right to at least try and correct this. Because, look, if they have this type of season again next year, we're going to have the conversation about McDaniel being gone, Greer being gone, and potentially them moving on from Tua as well. I think it puts them in a difficult spot when you extend your head coach this past offseason for 3 years to immediately then turn around and fire him at the end of this year. But, like, there is a lot of soul searching. I've said it on the show before. Like, there is a lot of soul searching that has to go on with Mike McDaniel and with Chris Greer on how they want to address the issues that have been glaring now for this 3-year tenure that McDaniel's been the head coach. And when we talk about how they're built, I don't know how much of that is solely on Chris Greer or how much of what this team looks like is in the vision of what Mike McDaniel wanted. So I know Chris Greer has the final say, obviously, over everything, but I like the fact that they are collaborative and he has listened to his head coach for what he thinks is best for this team to have success. Now they got to recalibrate big time in this offseason and try and get it corrected.
And just to this conversation about Hawks, quote unquote, big three of what they do. But no, like Tua is, he's a good quarterback. The numbers, he can play in this league. He's top 10. We did top 13. I think Solana said was at the lowest. So, and all that. But then when you don't have Tua as a head coach calling plays, you can only muster 12 points a game. But as a GM, you haven't put together, speaking of Chris Greer, the offensive line in the trenches like you want. Like, out of that big three, I don't like it running back. Who would be the weakest link of that big three? Because my thing, and like I said, I don't like to fire people, but I would want somebody else to construct this roster over anyone else. Is Chris Greer the weakest link? Is it McDaniel? Because we see what he cannot function in offense without Tua Tagovailoa on the field. It's just so, it's so many different tentacles. Who's the weakest link?
I hate to say it is, because I do think that he is one of the better coaches the Dolphins have hired, and he's turned them into one of the more, this season aside, like the last 2 years before this have been some of the most enjoyable Dolphin teams that at least I've watched in my life. But at the same time, today he was talking about in his press conference how many guys were showing up late and how many times he had to find people and how that didn't work. And you've got Tyreek removing himself from games and that whole situation. And it just feels like one of the fears that when the Dolphins first hired McDaniel, all right, well, when things go south, can he hold a locker room together? Is there too much freedom when he tries to be buddy-buddy with these guys? Is he able to toe that line? And I think we're starting to see some of the results of him not being able to figure that out quite yet. There's no doubt that there's talent here. Whether that talent can rise to the level they need obviously has not happened yet. But if you're going to ask me which one of those three that I think is the weakest link, like I think it's McDaniel. And I don't know. I feel kind of odd saying that because
I think you said that, Crowder, yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah.
I think McDaniel is the weakest link.
I don't know if – I'm not saying the players don't respect Mike McDaniel, but, like, it's a pretty glaring indictment of this team that you can have the Tyreek Hill situation going on. You can have guys constantly showing up late to meetings and getting fined for it and it not making a difference. Like, to me, that speaks to a bigger issue of how they view their head coach. And I'm not saying they need to bring in like a Brian Flores type again, right? Like, there has to be a middle ground between the authoritarian that is just a bleep hole to everybody and the coach who wants to be buddy buddy. Because I think like Mike McDaniel in San Francisco, and obviously I wasn't there, this is just my conjecture and just how I'm kind of reading the situation. Like, Mike McDaniel was able to basically be good cop all the time at San Francisco. It was Kyle Shanahan who had to make the tough decisions with the guys on the roster. John Lynch out there. Like, McDaniel was able to build that type of relationship as an assistant. And I think he had trouble, again, towing that line when he became the head coach of, yeah, you want to build these good relationships with your guys, but also when he handles certain situations, he's not able to, like, really put his foot down. It just kind of falls on deaf ears because he doesn't, like, nah, I don't want to be like, oh, he doesn't talk right or he doesn't look right, but, like, it just kind of feels like that, you know? Like, were guys showing up late like this for Nick Saban, Crowder, when you were playing here?
Like, no. And they and the respect, and I'm like, to your point, like, you don't want to say they don't respect him, but
I think they do.
They respect him, but it's some sort of fear that has to be there, or some sort of repercussions that have to be there. And when you're playing for your buddy, like, I think it happened with Gerard Mayo up in New England, where it's like, bro, I was just on a team with you 2 years ago. Like, our wives go to dinner together on Thursday night. I just think it's that mid-ground. And I think Mike McDaniel is a very good play caller, but I don't know if he's ready to run an organization.
And I think we're finding that out in real time. I think the Dolphins, unfortunately, the last two hires they made have hired two guys who are really good at being coordinators and really not good enough to be the guy leading a football team.
But in my opinion, that goes back to the guy making the decisions in charge of the hiring process. You mentioned, Appel, how many GMs around the league get 6 years without meaningful success at the most important part of the season and get another opportunity to run it back. Chris Greer was the one who hired Brian Flores to lead a full rebuild, and then he got his own pick for the next head coach as well, and that was Mike McDaniel. And I just look around the league, which is what frustrates me. I look around the league. The Detroit Lions hired Dan Campbell in 2021. They're Super Bowl contenders. The Philadelphia Eagles, I know they won in 2018, but they kind of had a culture reset when they brought in a new head coach. They're back to contending. I mean, we can go down the list. The Minnesota Vikings, new head coach, new quarterback. They lose the quarterback. They go, they make a trade. They're contending. The Packers, who you just saw. Like, I could go down the list here. The Chargers, new head coach, they're contending. The Texans, full rebuild in 2 years. They're back in the playoffs two straight years. The Broncos realized what the problem was, changed it with a new head coach. And here we are, year six with the Miami Dolphins. And to me, there's a common denominator. And Mike McDaniel, for sure, has issues. And I don't disagree with what you guys are saying, but the common denominator here is the owner and the guy he has in charge making all the decisions. And to me, we're just spinning the same cycle. Where next year, at the end of the day, this is the same team.
Yeah, and I think all that's fair. It's a really tough job, right? And I'm not like going to sit here and make excuses for Chris Greer. But if you look at the three playoff, was he officially the GM that first Gase season, or the Gase season when they made the playoffs where Tannehill got hurt?
No, he technically, I think it was like him and Hickey, but I count it as right. Year one of Flo when they tanked that year.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then they get two of the following year, 2018 forward.
Because like I he's made, if we're gonna give him that Gase season, that's three playoff appearances in the six plus seasons or whatever, but two playoff seasons in the 6 years he's officially been the GM, and in one of them, his starting quarterback didn't play. They were starting a third string quarterback on the road in Buffalo. And last year, they were an epic collapse away from winning the division and hosting a playoff game and, having the Steelers. And I know we've done this game before with that exact situation, but I mean, we're so close to having a different conversation that, to Hawk's point, it's difficult for me to argue that they need to just tear everything down again. I think that it was pretty telling when Chris Greer talked about Tua Tagovailoa in that press conference today and basically said, yeah, like, he's got to be better about taking care of himself and he needs to be available. That's pretty pointed, and I don't think he's really spoken about Tua that publicly. And also, Joe Shad, I think, had asked him that same question. How do you, do a full teardown and rebuild, and here you are without a playoff win? And the first thing he said was, Tua Tagovailoa can't miss 6.5 games. So, look, it's the purgatory that it feels like the Dolphins are always in, right? But I still think they're closer to being a playoff team.
That's my argument. They're closer to that side than they are to that side, so it's folly to start ripping it apart.
And that doesn't mean, though, that, like, is the goal just to, like, be a playoff team and be a team that can win a game?
Again, you're closer, I think, to the ultimate goal than you are further away from it. That's,
right.
Like, to me, that's the delineation you have to make. And I would say to Solana, because you actually brought something up that made me think about it. Like, if they beat Tennessee last season, they go to the playoffs, right?
They beat
Tennessee. It's a different situation. They don't play in Kansas City in that frozen game.
You mean
right?
They're hosting a playoff game?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. The two seasons.
So what did Chris Greer do wrong in that Tennessee game? Nothing. Like, he put the, in my opinion, had the right people out there on the field. He probably had the right defensive coordinator in Vic Fangio, even though you could argue that they were playing way too far back in a game that they're up two touchdowns, but like, to me, Chris Greer constructed the team properly that they should be able to hold on to a 14-point lead with 3.5 minutes to go.
So, Hulk, this is the conversation then. And McDaniel, in that Tennessee game, if we're speaking of it, McDaniel should have said, hey, Fangio, bring some damn defensive back closer to the line of scrimmage. This is stupid. So it would make McDaniel the weakest link.
I just don't want to run it back. I disagree, Crowder. And look, you're right about that Tennessee game. Ridiculous. McDaniel, I think Tua in the offense, like, they deserve to take accountability for that. They were. And the Titans gifted them a touchdown with a fumble after the Dolphins got their first Raheem Mostert touchdown. Like, people forgot how bad the team played. But they still had a chance to go play Baltimore. They still had a chance to play Buffalo and salvage the season. And they were outclassed in those games. So, to me, when you're saying he built the right roster to be the two seed, I'm telling you, he built the right roster to beat bad teams, and they should have beaten Tennessee, no doubt. But every opportunity this team has had to go up against the teams that Pell talked about, the top five, six teams, the class of the league, it's not that they just lose. They are outclassed. They don't look like they belong on the same field. So I don't agree that he's built the right roster. I just don't.
I think that's totally fair, but like again, there are legitimately like very savvy and very good moves that he's made. He signed, like, we want to talk about signing Jordan Poyer, and that hasn't been good. You know, letting Andrew Van Ginkle go, terrible, and signing Shaq Barrett. Like, I'm not going to argue any of that stuff. Thinking that Liam Eichenberg was a suitable replacement when you aren't able to afford to keep Robert Hunt. But at the same time, he signed an all-pro linebacker. Like, Jordan Brooks is probably going to be an all-pro. Zach Sealer, I think, has been, like, the best move that Greer has made since he's been here.
Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell. And Calais, apparently, if he plays next year, is open to being back with the Dolphins. Austin Jackson, before he got hurt, had finally developed into a first-round pick or a player that was worthy of being taken in the first round. We always used to make fun of Noah Igbinoghene. That dude's a top-10 slot corner in Washington this year and was solid in Dallas before. Like, there are guys that he finds, and I think he's actually a pretty good drafter. It's just when it gets time to retain these guys, I think that's where the missteps happen, and that's why, you know, we're seeing – you know, not Band-Aids, but, like, you're seeing a guy like Jordan Poyer getting signed, you know? And also, like, too, we haven't even talked about Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips essentially missing the entire season again this year. Like,
so these are huge. And I know we don't always want to give it context, but it is so huge.
Context comes off as excuses, and I don't want it to come off as an excuse, but all these things add up to what we saw from the Dolphins this year. And the goal is not just to make the postseason. It's to actually, like, be a contender. So if we know that, okay, they were this player, this bounce, or this injury or that injury away from being a 6 or a 7 seed again, but you still know kind of what the ceiling is, then yeah, like maybe you do move on. I don't know. I'm not as like pitchforks and flamethrowers and Molotov cocktails about Chris Greer being brought back or not. Like I don't think that they're going to, you know, be set back another decade if Chris Greer is the GM for another year and Mike McDaniel is the coach for one more, because one more year they can just decide, all right, not it, time to go. Like, that's not, and if we're not talking about that, that means they had a good season and they're going to the postseason. So
the Lions lost 17 defenders and they're still number one seed in the NFC. So
look, hey, they're biting kneecaps, we're giving away wedding cakes, but we got that straightened out. We gotta go, because we're up against a break. We love you, Josh. Josh Appel, happy National Bobblehead Day. Josh, what's your most valuable bobblehead?
I have a Roberto Luongo one. That's pretty cool.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. You know who that is, Crowder? Roberto Luongo.
Roberto. He said it wrong. Yeah. Luongo.
We were there at his retirement night, and
I think called him
Roberto Luongo. Roberto Luongo.
He's a good looking man.
Great hair. Oh, great hair. Yeah. Great hair. Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. That's Josh Appel from Sports USA, great national broadcaster for the NFL.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.